Everybody. I love a church with a sense of humor. Somebody said, Pastor Joe, I didn't know you were in the manger scene up there. There's a donkey. It's a donkey. Yeah. Oh, well, we have fun here. Someone else said, where's the ho, ho, ho? I said, we have that here too. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. We celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest Christmas gift in the history of mankind. You know, one size fits all? Right here in your heart. And another wonderful thing about it, you will never find yourself in an exchange line. Greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. So we're going to get right into God's word this morning. I know you see all the decorations and all. We're not going to start the Christmas message this morning, possibly next week. But we are still going to talk about the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. So if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'd love to give Bibles out here. Everybody's got one. Praise the Lord. John 16, the good news, the gospel of John chapter 16 this morning. We've opened our Bibles. Second step, open our hearts. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. We thank you for this morning that we can gather together and sit at your feet. You are the good shepherd. We are your sheep, and I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would feed us the milk, the meat, and the manna that comes from your precious word. So have your way this morning. You are the guest of honor. This is your church. It's not the building. It's the blood-bought saints that belong to you. And so this morning, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. John 16 this morning. A little bit of an introduction as usual, kind of bring you up to speed where we are. Oftentimes we have visitors and people that weren't here last week, so I just want to kind of give you a little bit of an introduction so that we can just pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 16 here this morning. Jesus is just hours away from the cross here in John chapter 16. In his last moments with his disciples, instructing them and equipping them for what will take place after his departure. He's going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. He said, no man takes my life. They didn't take his life. He laid it down lovingly and willingly to redeem you and me. And those who would believe. As we see here this morning, Jesus is going away to his Father who sent Jesus into this world. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, who's that include? Everybody. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why it's called the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's also this morning going to assure them that he's not going to leave them alone. And that the helper, verse 7, the person of the Holy Spirit, parakletos, the helper, intercessor, comforter, consoler, the Holy Spirit, will come to those who will believe. Ephesians tells us that when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, the person, and notice I said person, amen, the third part of the triune God, Elohim, the Holy Spirit, comes into our hearts and seals us for the day of redemption. Every time I share that, I get sheep bumps. I'm not a goose, I'm a sheep. And what wonderful news that is. We are sealed, we are secure for the day of redemption. People say, well, how come, how often, or what happens when we drift? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, leaves the 99 and goes after the one who has gone astray. And that can be any of us here in this room. I'm guilty of it as well at times for drifting. And so the person of the Holy Spirit came into this world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the good news is he, the person of the Holy Spirit, will guide us, lead us, and guide us in all truth. Isn't it wonderful that God so loves you and I that he sends the third person of the Trinity into this world to give us the truth in a world that's filled with lies, half-truths, fake news? Right here, folks, every word is given by the inspiration of God. Every word is true. You can stake your life on it. Also, he will tell them, the disciples, and us, of things to come. And that's why recently I've had such an excitement in my heart for the return of Jesus Christ. Part of it's because I'm old. I don't know the number of my days. But also, with what we see going on in Israel, they're getting ready to rebuild the third temple. They've got the heifer now. And guess who the greatest proponent of building the third temple is? Bibi Netanyahu, who was just reelected. Again, sheep bumps. How close are we? I often tell you, don't buy green bananas. You might not see them get ripe. And so the Holy Spirit also, Jesus tells them this morning, takes what is the Lord's and declares it to us. And that's why we go through God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse here, precept upon precept, because God declares to us through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit that which is to come. Jesus also, as we'll see here in verses 1 to 4, warns them that after his departure, persecution is going to come. Have you noticed in our world and even in our country, persecution is beginning? It really, really is. In his omniscience, Jesus knew what lay ahead for the disciples. And he also shares with us what lays ahead for us. Because he does not want them to be stumbled, and he does not want us to be stumbled. He wants us to hold on to his word and hold on to him. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and he's going to lead us all the way home. So he doesn't want them to be stumbled. It's an interesting word, stumbled. Scandalizo. That's where we get the word scandal from. To be tripped up. To be enticed to sin. I guarantee every one of us in this room this week has been enticed to sin. Satan has a tackle box full of lures. And if one doesn't work, he pulls out another one. And he's got some lures. He knows exactly those things that will lure you and I in at times. So we have to be wise. We need spiritual discernment, which is a gift, again, of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as God's children, he also warns us of those things that try to scandalize us, to trip us up. He wants us also, and he wanted them to know that they are not alone. You are not alone. God, Emmanuel, is with us through the power of his Holy Spirit today. We too have the Holy Spirit, the helper. We need help, folks, don't we? I'm telling you, I didn't realize or recognize for years how much help I need help in everything. Everything. And wisdom comes with old age. You begin to realize and recognize we need help from the Lord in every single thing. Also, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And look at the world today. We need comfort. He's also the Intercessor, the Consoler, who leads us and guides us in all truth. That's why over and over and over, whenever I get the privilege of sharing God's word, I encourage you, get into the word, get into the word, get into the word. I pray that your Bible study is just not on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We need to spoon feed ourselves. And he's also going to tell us what is to come. Also, the person of the Holy Spirit is going to glorify the Lord. Take what the Lord's, what is the Lord's and give it to us. At the same time, the Lord speaks to us through his word. I remember a pastor one time when I first got saved. Someone said, how do I know God is speaking to me? He said, open up your Bible and read it out loud. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't it a miracle that we can hear the voice of God? It really is. Every day I marvel. I never take it for granted that God loves me and wants to speak to me through his precious word to keep us from stumbling. As we too, just like the disciples, face persecution and hatred from the world. And again, recently we've seen in the messages that in those end times, in those last days, even as the Apostle Paul told us, there will be haters of God. Doesn't that blow you away that anybody could hate the lover of their souls? They could hate Jesus Christ. And so let's look at the first four verses here this morning. John 16, 1 to 4, red letters. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Scandalizo. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. And so Jesus is telling them in advance what to expect. I love the fact that prophetically God's word tells you and I in advance what to expect in this world in which we live. He tells them in advance what's coming to keep them from stumbling. And if you want to be kept from stumbling, get into God's word and obey God's word. We live in a world filled with darkness. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light into our path, and we can walk through this world in this world of darkness and not stumble. He says they will pull you out of the synagogues. I kind of chuckle about that one because here we are, back in the synagogue. Oftentimes I see my Jewish friends upstairs and I go, Shalomi, homie. I know. I'm sick. Pray for me. They will put you out of the synagogues. And he's talking about at that time, and that's exactly what happened. Jesus said they will think by killing you that they're doing a service for God. Isn't that amazing? And we're going to talk in a moment about someone who did exactly that. A guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Remember him? There must have been COVID in those days because Saul was on the road to Damascus. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. It didn't take long after Jesus ascended for this to take place. Acts 8:1, after Stephen was martyred for his faith. Remember that story? What a precious Saint Stephen was. We read that Saul, a Pharisee, was consenting to Stephen's death. He was rejoicing in Acts 8:1 over the death of one of God's children. And the Bible tells us a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were scattered. In Acts 9:1 to 2, again, Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he obtained permission from the high priest, if you would. Can you imagine that? He got a letter. He got permission from the high priest that if he found any men or women who believed in Jesus, that he could bind them and bring them to Jerusalem and imprison them. But God gave Saul a chance, didn't he? Even a guy that was arresting men and women and Christians and putting some to death, God saved his soul. Doesn't that amaze you? It really does. And he changed his name to Paul. Saul means much sought after one. He was a big dog. But when God humbled him on the road to Damascus and knocked him off, literally off his high horse, he gave him his name, Paul, which means little one. What a lesson that is for all of us. Oh, we really think we're something before we get saved, but guess what God does? He reduces us. Remember John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase. The less of you that shows up, the more of Jesus Christ can show up in your life and in mine. God saved Saul. If he can save Saul, Christian killer, he can save anyone. Acts 26, 9 to 11, Paul now shares his testimony. And he was humbled and broken when he had to share his testimony. That he arrested many of the saints, he said, and shut them up in prison and had them put to death. He punished them. He even compelled some of them to blaspheme, persecuting them. Paul is sharing this. This was what was in his man's heart prior to Jesus Christ coming into his heart. This is the heart that he had. And as a religious man, a Pharisee, he said he was a Pharisee above Pharisees. Look what he's doing to God's church, the saints. And so Jesus here lets his disciples know. Why did this happen? Because they didn't know at this particular time that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God and God the Son. And Jesus says, I'm telling you so that when the time comes, you may remember. And it's going to be the Comforter, the person of the Holy Spirit, the Helper that is going to help them from the moment of his ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the one who would remind them of things to come. Isn't it nothing short of a miracle that we have the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us? And he does help us. He does, if we will allow him to. I've shared with you many times, my first prayer in the morning is, Lord, cleanse me of all of my sin and fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I need you desperately today, Lord, to empower me, to give me the spiritual strength that I need, because this world is an ugly place these days. Every time we get together with our older friends, the senior saints, we talk about the good old days. And I always jokingly say, I feel like one of my parents now. Because every time as a kid, their friends came over, they talked about the good old days. And a lot of us can remember back in the 50s and 60s and 70s when it wasn't perfect, but times were a whole lot better than they are today. There's a fear that's gripped our nation today like never before. And so as we see here to this day in many parts of the world, there is persecution arising. We live in a Christian bubble in America. But you know what? I think that bubble's going to burst one day. And I think persecution's really going to break loose. Many parts of the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because of their faith, are being arrested. There are Christians right now meeting in caves and in hidden places to hold church services because if they get caught, they will be put to death. And look at us. We take it for granted. We really do. And I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. This is just my own personal feelings. I'm not going to church today. Football game is on. We can find a lot of reasons to do other things today. But the number one priority in the life of the believer should be to gather together and to worship the Lord as the body of Christ. I'll tell you what. The greatest, I think the most awesome days in my life are when I get together with you guys. Not because I'm the pastor. No, I'm a brother in Christ. We are saints. We're the family of God. And now I look forward to every time we can get together because people are isolated like never before, aren't they? People are staying at home. They order their food out to be delivered to the door. They're online. Instead of talking, they text. We don't have face-to-face communication very much anymore. And look at how the enemy is dividing and conquering. We need to be here. And that's why we didn't shut the doors during COVID. And look what God did. Okay, so here we see they're being arrested, shut up in prison, punished, put to death because of their faith in Jesus. Verse 5 to 15. But now, I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send, notice, him to you. Jesus never uses the word it. I hear people many times in reference to the person of the Holy Spirit saying it or that. No, this is God in the third person, the person of the Holy Spirit. I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Thank you, Jesus. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in how much truth? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. What a blessing we have that God reveals these things to us. That's why when the world is falling to pieces, we have peace. Look what's going on around us. Man, people are just panicking. And they look at you and I and go, man, what's up with you? You got peace. You got a smile on your face. You always have love and joy. Thank you very much. That is through the person of the Holy Spirit. The disciples had never grasped why he went or why he went and where he went. They couldn't really fully understand, even though he had told them many times, I'm going to the Father. Back in chapters 13 and 14, they were mostly concerned with themselves. Self, the gospel of self. This gospel puts self to death. Deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, follow me. Yeah, that's why it's the good news. The best thing that can happen is death to self, and he gives us life. They were concerned if he went away, what would become of them? Many times Jesus spoke of going to the cross, and you turn around and read the next verse, and they're arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's just like today. The greatest. We today know because we have the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important. Jesus said to Peter three times, do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. And I think for those in the pulpit today, the best way that we can show our love for God is to feed his sheep. Love them, nurture them, feed them. God's Word. We're not called to entertain the goats. We are called to feed the sheep. There's a difference there. And because we have the Word of God, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, if Jesus didn't go away, there would be no person of the Holy Spirit living within our lives today. If Jesus didn't die, our sins would not be removed. If Jesus did not rise again, death would not be defeated. We have victory. It's been completed on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. Tetelestai, done. Perfect work. And we're just waiting for the rest of the story, if you would, to play out. I know many of us pray many times, Lord, come today. I need you today. Lord, take me home. But we all have friends and relatives and loved ones and even enemies that need Jesus Christ. God has called you and I to where we are today to be lights. Why are we still in California, my family and I? Because God wants us to be light here. I don't know about you, but I get in trouble when I'm comfortable. I need to be on the battlefield, not the playground. And I think it's so important we realize and recognize this is a battlefield. And it's a battle for human souls. And if Jesus didn't go back to the Father, we would not have the Holy Spirit. to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, yes, he left them for a little while. But in a little while, he says, you will see me again. Oftentimes people say, well, you've been saying this for thousands of years now. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. But what does God's word tell you and I? With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. With him, he doesn't have a Timex or a boulevard or a clock on the wall, calendar. When we go to heaven, we're going to be outside of time. Hallelujah. What's that going to, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. So how long has it been gone? 2,000 years or 2 days? And you know what? If he would have come prior to 40 years ago, I'd have perished. And many people would have perished. But he is coming back at the perfect time. And many between now and then, I believe, are going to be saved. That's why we're here, to be salt and to be light. We too believe we'll see Jesus in a little while. Do you believe that? I have never been, you know, the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but I have this anxiety in my heart about the return of Jesus. I really do. I think he could come even before the closing prayer today. I believe that with all of my heart. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas on the 25th. He could come before them. Wouldn't that be awesome? We'd have the merriest Christmas ever, folks. No fat guy in a red suit who thinks he's God. Sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, knows you've been bad. Give me a break. Is he omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent? No. He's a lie. Along with the reindeer and the flying sleigh. And the dancing snowman, who thinks he's cool. I know. But we're going to see him very, 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 very soon. I love that. I am excited about that. And by the way, verse 9 tells us that it is a sin not to believe in him. Wow. Believers are going to be at the bema seat. We are going to be rewarded one day. Unbelievers are going to be at the great white throne judgment. They will be judged for their sins and cast into the lake of fire forever. So it's your choice. Eternity. Smoking or non-smoking, your choice. 12 to 15 again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's how we got saved. Just think about it. The things that led up to your salvation. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible actually says it's the good news that draws us to repentance. God's goodness draws us to repentance, causes us to change directions. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to guide them. The Holy Spirit's going to tell them things to come and take what are his and declare it to us and to them. And this is exactly what happened. The truths that were revealed to them were written down for us. We have all 66 books of God's precious word today, the New Testament books and epistles. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Yeah, for doctrine, for reproof, that the man or woman of God will be thoroughly equipped. That's why they call it the good news. All scripture, how much is all, again, is given by the inspiration of God. The term means to be God-breathed. Verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, it's just a matter of hours. And again, a little while, you will see me when he's resurrected. Because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, here we go, what is this that he says to us? A little while and You will not see me in a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, what is the word therefore? Therefore, it points back to what was just previously said. You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. You know what? We can take that scripture to the bank today as well. Yeah, a little while. We're going to go through sorrow and pain and grief. That's part of living in this fallen world. But you know what? We're going to see Jesus again. What a glorious day that's going to be. Okay. And we're going to rejoice one day. And we can rejoice even today with a joy that no one can take from us. Why? No one can take that joy from your heart. It comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed for the day of redemption. No one can take the love, the peace, the joy, and all the wonderful fruits of the person of the Holy Spirit from us. Notice, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. And again, he says, a little while. Back up to verse 16. Life is short. But you know what? We too will see Jesus very soon. When you're young, you think you're going to live forever. But then you get older. It's like, whoa. You know, you begin to think about heaven more and Jesus more and keeping your life pure more, getting ready to return to the Lord. As for the disciples right now, they're wondering, what's he saying? Why? Because the Holy Spirit had not filled them yet. And it's the person of the Holy Spirit that brings all things to remembrance. And after Christ ascended, then they began to say, oh, you remember he said this? Remember he said that? And isn't it wonderful today? We can be forgetful, but oftentimes when we need God's word, when we need the Holy Spirit, it is amazing how he brings things to remembrance we thought we forgot. In a little while, they're going to weep. And the world will rejoice at his death. But, again he says, in a little while, they will see Jesus and their sorrow will be turned to joy. You know what happens when you get saved? The same thing happens at conversion. Yeah. Your sorrow is turned to joy. We got testimony after testimony in this fellowship and all over the world of Christians who were filled with grief and sorrow and pain. And then when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our sorrow is turned to joy. We used to do things in this world to be happy. Even singing the song, don't worry, be happy. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And you can have joy in any situation in your life. And that joy comes because you know that God is in control of every single thing in your life. And everything that comes your way and my way has to pass through his nail-scarred hands because he loves you. And he takes those things that the enemy means for evil and he turns them around for good. And we can have testimony after testimony about that too. just in this room. There's incredible things that God has done. In a little while, are you ready? And that when he says a little while, he means a little while. But he gives an example here in verse 21 about a woman giving birth. Us guys that were in the delivery room when our wives were giving birth to our kids, just I had the slippers on and the gown and the mask and the whole thing, you know, and I'm just flipping out. I've never seen my wife in such pain. But then look what happens. Not long after, when you're cuddling that little baby in your arms, you forget the pain and it's gone. And one day, Jesus is going to cuddle you in his arms and all the pain and grief and sorrow from this world is going away. As he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Yes, we go through birth pangs, the scripture says, contractions, but that's okay. We're on our way to heaven and we're going to be birthed right into our new home in heaven one day. The sorrow will be completely forgotten when we see Jesus again. And I've often thought in my own mind, when I see Jesus and I fall at his feet and weep, I think that's what's going to happen personally. I'm going to feel convicted, thinking that was nothing compared to what God has blessed me with. Because the Bible clearly says the sufferings of this time cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us one day. And no matter what you're going through, God is going to a millionfold bless you with joy and peace and all the wonderful things that come with going through the birth pangs in this world today. 22 to 24 again. Therefore, you now sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. No one. And in those days you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And again, no one can take your joy away. We now, as children of God, have a direct relationship with the true and the living God. Before, they went through a priest. How sad it is. There are some churches today that have you go through a priest. We go boldly and directly to our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We don't need anybody in between. There is only one mediator between God and man, and it is Jesus Christ and him alone. Now we can go immediately and directly to our Heavenly Father, right on the spot. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait to talk to some guy in a box. I'll leave that one alone. One mediator. It's not Mary. It's not the priest. It's not the reverend. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only mediator between God and man. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Isn't that incredible? And have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. And so to the disciples, the Lord's teaching was not always clear, understanding to them. It wasn't always understandable. And many times he spoke in parables. Many times he gave physical examples of spiritual truths. And, you know, even though they were with him three and a half years, they still didn't fully grasp at times what he was saying. But with the coming of the person of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of Christ and his Father became more clear. And again, many times I've shared with you, before I got saved, I tried to pick up a Bible and read it, and it was like reading someone else's mail. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I knew the author. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit came in and led me and guided me in all truth through God's word, and I couldn't put the Bible down. Incredible. And when I prayed the Lord's Prayer, which when I was a heathen, I'd get in a jam. Pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I could pray through without even thinking about what I was saying. And you know what the real truth is? He wasn't my father. The devil was. Two choices, two families on the planet. But now, because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, I can now pray, Abba, Father, Daddy, he is my Father in heaven. And what a wonderful miracle that is. But they couldn't understand at this particular time. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden they will realize and it will become more clear what he said. Verse 13 tells us he will lead you and guide you in all truth. And that's a wonderful blessing. In the book of Acts, the epistles, we're given the truth by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says that holy men wrote as they were led by the person of the Holy Spirit. We now, in verse 26, have the privilege of praying to the Father, and Jesus also intercedes for us. Praise the Lord. I want to share this before we close, which I think is really, really important. Got a couple more verses I'm going to expound upon. One thing we have to be aware of as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know how that happens? Sin. The book of Ephesians lays out a list. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, we are to put away, put off, verse 22 actually, our former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Our lusts can grieve and quench the person of the Holy Spirit. Put away lying, he says. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, your fellow being. He said, be angry and do not sin. Whoa. He also goes on to say, let him who stole steal no longer. He also goes on to say, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Whoa, there's a heavy one. Why? Because our tongues are supposed to be controlled by the person of the Holy Spirit. Little word of testimony. When we first got saved, we had some friends over for dinner. I don't know if Tina remembers this one. But prior to conversion, I was always putting my wife down. And all of a sudden, the lady across the table, our friend, says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. And I wanted to crawl under the table, convicted by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I would venture to say that in 40 years, I've always blessed my wife with my tongue and not put her down because it is under control of the Holy Spirit. Guys, we're to bless our wives. They're a gift from God. Marriage is a gift from God between one man and one woman. And I think it's so important, guys, that we control our tongues, especially when we speak to our wives and friends and relatives and loved ones. He also goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it should be evident in everything we say and everything we do. Nobody's perfect. We don't bat 1,000. But you know what? I believe if you will ask God to cleanse you of all sin and fill you with the Holy Spirit every day, and you don't even have to wait till morning. All day long, I'm always asking God, fill me overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. I need that today. It's so important for us as children of God to represent him properly. So here's the disciples. Not believing in his deity, but now they do. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, they will even believe even more so. And what happens is when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we enjoy a new sense of intimacy with the Father and with Jesus Christ like never before. It's a supernatural thing that can only come by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Jesus came from the Father, it says in verse 28, into this world. Following his death, burial, resurrection, he's going back home. And right now, John 14 tells us that he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, that we may be also. Evidently, our place isn't ready yet. I wonder how close, you look around the room, I wonder how close we are to the construction being finished, folks. And when it's ready, you're out of here. Be it the rapture or the rupture, one way or another, when your place is ready, it's ready. In verses 29 to 30, they now claim to understand. He's speaking clearly. But even like us today, when the Holy Spirit comes into one's life, all of a sudden, the things that Jesus says become more clear. Verse 31, notice what he says. Do you now believe? That's the most important question that any person can answer on this planet. Are you a believer or are you an unbeliever? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible very clearly says if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. We always give that opportunity at the end of the service. And it's not Pastor Joe's preaching, it's the person of the Holy Spirit that will show you that you need to be saved. It is the person of the Holy Spirit that draws us. And you know what? Every time a person refuses the invitation, we get closer and closer to pushing the Spirit away and eventually blaspheming the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe? Jesus asks him. Same question today. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yet in a very short time, they're going to be scattered. They're going to flee. They're going to leave Jesus alone. Yeah, as he's arrested, brutally beaten, nailed to a cross for you and for me. Yet he would not be alone because his Father is with him. And so Jesus says in verse 33, I'm telling you all this, that in me you will have peace. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. Praise God. He's overcome this world. And yes, it's getting worse every day. Oftentimes people say, man, I can't believe how bad it is today. I say, just wait till tomorrow. In spite of what will happen to them, the disciples, in this world, when he is gone, he's in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, they and us have peace through the person of the Holy Spirit. How about you this morning? You have peace, or is your life in pieces? God, through his Son, through his Word, through the Holy Spirit, and through his love, wants to save you if you haven't been saved. Do you believe? Jesus asked. Even in the midst of a fallen world, tribulation, trials, the wickedness, and the hatred in this world, you know what? We can be of good cheer because of the joy that we have from the person of the Holy Spirit. Just think about what we have. We have his Spirit. We have his love. We have his grace, his mercy. We have the cross. We have his shed blood. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we are overcomers. The term overcome is nikao. It means to be victorious, to conquer, and to prevail. Keep those things in mind the next time you're panicking. The next time you're, you know, fear tries to grip your heart, just remember the words that we've seen here this morning that he spoke to his disciples then, and he's speaking to his disciples today. As we close, I would like to give you the opportunity to receive the greatest Christmas present anybody could ever receive. And it's wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's the first part of the story. Second part of the story is he died on a cross for you, for all of your sins, past, present, and future. He was buried. He rose again. And he's getting ready to come back for his bride, his church, at any moment. And if God has, through his Spirit, spoken to you here this morning, and you need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, I'd like you just to stand quickly and do as the Apostle Paul tells us. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anybody else as we close? Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now over you and what you're doing. So pray this prayer with me if you would. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord, my Savior, as I give my life to you. And I thank you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's rejoice with the angels in heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh man, the worship team got raptured. Oh, here she comes. Okay. God bless you all. We're going to go upstairs and have some donuts. They're holy. They got a hole right in the middle of them. And have some coffee, orange juice, fellowship. So God bless you all. And may, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just shower you in his love this week and give you peace that surpasses all understanding. God bless you all. Let's stand one more time.